choices, new players, new models of care. You know consumer-first healthcare is everywhere. For us to build the future, to see what's new, we gotta look at the world from a different point of view. Consumer innovation ain't going away. I say it's here to stay. Today it leads the way. We gotta drop the silos. We're all the same team. Experience, business, tech, and marketing. So join us now. Join the revolution. Consumer first health is the evolution. Status quo or like status no. Yeah, this is the healthcare rap. Yo, come on, let's go.
Welcome back to the leading podcast about consumer innovation. I'm Jared Johnson, and here's what's going to go down today. We have the flavor of the week about Target Circle 360. Is their new loyalty program bringing them one step closer to offering healthcare benefits that rival Amazon and Walmart? And is it showing us more about the value of customer loyalty? I'll talk about that. Then we welcome Ellen Donahue Dalton, Chief Marketing Officer at VillageMD. With guest co-host James Gardner back as well, Ellen gives us insight after insight about the connection between understanding consumers and marketing healthcare services to them. Along the way, she shares how she believes that younger consumers' preferences for quick, convenient care are one of the wins that will push primary care to new heights of innovation. It's time to dive right in. Are you ready? Let's go.
Flavor of the week.
Is Target one step closer to making a splash in healthcare? According to TechCrunch, the retail giant announced it's launching a paid membership program to compete with rivals Amazon and Walmart. The subscription tier is called Target Circle 360, and it includes unlimited free same-day delivery for orders over $35 and free two-day shipping, along with other perks like exclusive partnerships and product offerings. Target is rolling out a paid membership way later than its competitors, and the move comes as it continues to see a decline in sales, which have dropped for three quarters in a row. The company is copying from Amazon's and Walmart's playbooks to hopefully bring in additional revenue and boost sales. So I know, you probably don't need me to remind you about my prediction last year about Target being the next major retailer to get into primary care. And listen, we're definitely not there yet. But this does appear to be trending in the right direction, and it could be a sign that they finally feel the need to keep up with Amazon and Walmart. And remember, Prime and Walmart Plus both expanded their healthcare-related benefits after their initial launch. It took 9 months for Walmart Plus to add their RX for Less benefit, which provides select medications at zero cost and thousands of additional prescription medications at a discount of up to 85%. And Amazon's RX Pass, their $5 a month add-on for all you need generic drugs, wasn't announced until January 2023. If Target does add a prescription benefit as part of membership in Circle 360, imagine the additional data they could gather about health conditions of their customers. Still, I'll be clear, they have given no indication at any time that they're interested in entering the primary care wars with their fellow retail giants. So maybe they haven't solved the healthcare value chain finance equation any more than anyone else has, but a guy can hope, right? When I think of who has the brand and customer experience to provide a consumer-centric healthcare offering, Target remains at the top of my list. So although I don't see them fully copying the retail health playbook just yet and acquiring a major primary care player, I continue to be encouraged by how they're merchandising their new wellness products. And now the launch of Circle 360 makes me wonder if we'll be seeing more healthcare-related offerings from them in the near future, one way or the other. Because one thing's for sure, they believe they've found more revenue in customer loyalty programs, and that's just the latest insight that healthcare can learn from non-healthcare brands. Let's follow how Target builds loyalty with health and wellness products and services over the coming months and connect the dots with the needs and desires of consumers. That's another way that we'll build the healthcare of tomorrow, and that's the flavor of the week. All right, everyone, let's get into the flow. My regular co-host and correspondent, James Gardner, is back. James, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jared. I'm excited to be back with you.
Likewise. Well, let's get right into it and let's welcome our guest here. Very excited for who we have today. Would you please give it up for Ellen Donahue Dalton, Chief Marketing Officer at VillageMD. Ellen, welcome to the Healthcare Wrap.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We are excited to dive into so many different topics. We were just mentioning before we hit record that there's this intersection of marketing and healthcare right now where there are so many moving parts and pieces in a couple of different dimensions. And so whenever we talk about this intersection of both things, it's very insightful, and we love to hear from those who are absolutely right in the thick of it. So I wonder if we could start with a 2-minute version of who you are and what you do, and we'll go from there.
Okay, great. So I lead a talented team of people who help define and create value for VillageMD service line brands. We have Village Medical, which is a primary care brand, Summit Health, a multi-specialty brand, mostly in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, and CityMD, which is our urgent care brand, also kind of in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. We drive growth performance for the brands, focusing on introducing particularly older adults to what we consider a new style of primary care that can act as a quarterback for their best care. But overall, with all service lines in, we've introduced millions of individuals to primary care, multi-specialty care, urgent care, so that they can afford better, more available, accessible, and higher quality care.
Outstanding. There's so much packed in there with what's involved in your work. Let's dive into that a little bit. Can you help us understand what VillageMD is all about? You mentioned some of the brands, but when you're describing this to a layperson.
It's funny that you asked that because last week I was at a senior center here in Atlanta at one of our doc talks. And the doctor started off by asking the group about their primary care doctors and their primary care relationships. And to a person in that room, every one of those people said, you can't get in, you can't actually see them when you're sick, or gosh, it's been so long since I was able to see my primary care doc, I go to my XYZ specialist. And you know, one of the really important things about VillageMD and Village Medical is the passion and commitment around primary care as the quarterback for people's health and wellness. And without that quarterback, one is left floating around trying to navigate this really complex healthcare system. So when I describe Village Medical to my friends or to my family, I say that we are accessible. Right? So many of our patients have access to their care teams 24/7 every single day of the year. We are affordable. We work with patients so that their longitudinal care needs, not their immediate needs, not their episodic needs, but their longitudinal care needs are under the most inclusive plan for them, for their ability to afford and access. We are caring and empathetic. That's probably something that many of your guests say, right? Everybody in healthcare is, you know, typically caring and empathetic. Our providers lead a whole care team that is available to our patients. But there are two things that I really want to underscore. One is care coordination, and one is medication management. The reason that these things are so important, in another way that Village Medical is different than, you know, maybe some other health systems that you've spoken with, is the rate of chronic condition in the United States. Let me just give you some stats, if I can. There are 26 million people in the United States over 75 today. About two-thirds of them are women. Half of these people are moving into their Medicare coverage with very little primary care experience. They're actually coming in from decades of believing that primary care is really not a thing. It's not available. It's not accessible. It's not something that you can get into when you're sick, right? 23 million of these folks live at home and will stay at home. They will not go into any kind of a facility until perhaps late in their life. And they are managing one or more chronic conditions. Many Americans manage four chronic conditions. So just think of the specialists, the medications, the appointments, the distractions, ads on TV, other promises, things you find online. So in this world, Village Medical focuses on keeping folks like this. Not everybody we take care of is over 65, but we really focus in on those people, many of whom are over 65, who are managing one or more than one chronic condition. They are the folks who oftentimes are left out of our siloed, complex, hard to navigate system.
Thanks for painting like such a vivid picture of that persona. It really is eye-opening. That might be like a nice segue to the relationship that Village has with Walgreens, and access to pharmacists, because what you've described seems like a natural competitive advantage. Can you describe, like, again, in layman's terms, kind of the consumer experience that I might have as a patient, where I might find some of these clinics, how I might engage both with your clinicians, but also pharmacists at an adjacent or nearby Walgreens? Help us just understand, because I think it's very differentiating.
Yes, absolutely. So let me start by saying that VillageMD has retail type practices for urgent and primary care situated in easy to access places like City Blocks or Walgreens stores. Many of our CityMD urgent cares are close to Walgreens or Duane Reade's in the Metro New York, New Jersey area. And many of our primary care practices are right inside a Walgreens store. For all of these practice locations, we are on a path towards integrating pharmacy management. It can be as simple as having a test, getting a prescription, and then getting bumped to the start of the line at the pharmacy to be able to pick up your prescription before you go home. It can be that simple. It can also be as simple as showing up in a Walgreens or Duane Reade pharmacy counter, needing a prescription or presenting as though you need a prescription, but first needing a telehealth visit and being able to do that seamlessly. It can be as simple as getting medications delivered at home in the case of a care transition out of an acute facility. So there are many use cases that our organizations are working with together, but all of those use cases believe in the pharmacist's role in high quality, accessible, available care. You know, I was describing earlier some folks who are managing four chronic conditions. We probably have all heard the horror stories. These folks are sometimes managing 20 medications, which, you know, may change after a hospital entry, 20 medications, which may have different side effects, 20 medications, which might be titrated in different directions. So for your consumer who is trying to navigate not only through the complex system of healthcare, but also through the complex system of your own care with your own medications and appointments and specialists, the relationship between primary care and a pharmacist is key.
It's amazing. Yeah, because I think it helps people to understand the big picture and the small picture. The big picture being the breadth and depth. You mentioned 26 million seniors, 75 and up, 23 million living at home. And then that comes down to an individual consumer's experience. I'm fascinated by how simple these terms can be. They mentioned being bumped up to the front of the line to pick up your prescription or having it delivered at home. So there's the big picture and the little picture here. I do think it's in the intersection of those things, recognizing where they come together for any individual person, where our focus can be to have an outsized value of ultimately providing better care here. You know, that brings me to just what you're seeing. I'd love to hear just what trends you're seeing from the retail point of view, anything you haven't mentioned already. It could be opportunities, it could be threats, or just things that are like, yeah, we're paying attention to this, you know, just based on the viewpoint you're seeing. Can you just give us the lay of the land?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a time of threat and opportunity, right? We all see that, and it's coming at us all at the same time. More and more consumers seek care digitally. More and more consumers are fronted and faced every day with options for care that appear to be maybe more convenient, but are may not necessarily be in their best interest. More and more consumers are describing difficulty to being able to pay for care. We know that many of these older adults that I just described are deferring or delaying care. So, you know, yes, it is a lot of challenge and opportunity. And that's really why we see, I don't know if you have seen our recent ad campaign. It is called The New Way to Well. And that is the way that we think about the care service that we offer. We talked to thousands of people, Jared, as we were developing The New Way to Well. And what they told us maybe in some cases doesn't sound new or doesn't sound innovative, but what they told us they wanted was access and availability, right? They want a trusted relationship. They want care that feels personalized. You know, we all know, right, that consumers want to feel the empathy. They want to feel that they're not just in a factory of care, but they're actually being treated and cared for by a team of people. And perhaps most importantly, they actually want their care coordinated. You know, Jared, you've had many guests who have talked about connecting all the disparate parts of the healthcare system, and that's all well and good. And certainly that is one of the opportunities in front of us. But think about the individual consumer and what his or her experience is as those points are connected or not, even just in a non-acute chronic care condition mode, right? You want to know that your meds are being considered. You want to know that behavioral and, you know, medical or clinical care are connected tightly. You want to know that your caregiver, if you might be the caregiver, you might have a caregiver, you want to know that caregiver is part of your team. You want to know that you can access your personalized health information 24/7 through technology, through a person, a virtual physical visitor, whatever. These consumer needs and demands seem simple. And in some ways, they almost seem old-fashioned. And as so many parts of our healthcare system start to mobilize toward them, I really think that the primary care service provider is fundamental to that patient's ability to have the healthiest and longest life. Because even as all of those parts of the system start to build up for more connected care, you, the patient, you need a quarterback. You need a safe place. You need the person, the care team that understands you and can have the conversation with you around whatever's happening in your health journey at that time.
It's so important to mention that.
I love your thinking, Ellen. And you described it as simple, but I think of it as timeless. Timeless.
It really is, James. I have been a caregiver for a family member for most of my adult life. I've seen firsthand how difficult it is to live successfully and to access care successfully without a primary care quarterback. By the way, when we tested the idea of a primary care quarterback, the reaction was negative. People don't like to think that they need a quarterback, but the concept behind having someone with whom you have that longitudinal trusted relationship is a really dominant theme in people's minds. Let me tell you what happens from my own experience. When you have a chronic condition over decades, you have affinity to one or two specialists who are really treating that condition. And you can be tempted to let your primary care fall behind you, to let your primary care doctor not know when you have surgery or not know when your medications change. It's hard. It's all on your shoulders to have to do that. And what happens, though, is that the specialist, two specialists, four specialists, they are not looking across you as a patient. They're not looking at your behavioral health needs. They're not looking at the fact that you can no longer drive. They're not looking at your financial concerns or worries about, you know, being able to afford that med or that med. In that world, without a primary care quarterback, you are still left navigating with as much power and control as you can that complex world. And it's not easy.
So if not quarterback, what was the thought that people gravitated towards?
People gravitate towards the idea of a care team. People have very high perceptions of nurses, pharmacists. They like the idea of a whole team working together. It's funny. Consumers believe that their doctors and their pharmacists are working together. They actually believe that. When we talk to them about that, they say, yes, that is absolutely important. And yes, it's happening. And in fact, the three of us on this podcast know, and the people that are listening to this probably know, that that's not happening. You get new medications, your medication type or time of the day change. You may have an acute admission. You come out, you get different medications. Medications change all the time. And without a good primary care base, you are left managing your own medications, along with whatever you get from Canada, because you can't afford the US ones, or along with whatever supplements and vitamins you're taking, or along with whatever maybe you saw online and thought it was a good idea to add into your regimen, right? Then you didn't tell anybody, right? So this world of medication management and having a quarterback and a care team around medication management, kind of in a broad sense, so key.
I think there's a tie here to one of the themes of our show, which is, especially these last couple of seasons, we've been referring to it as consumer innovation. And I think you've just been describing it in all of the examples you just gave. For the purposes of the show, we've tried to give it a bit of a definition. And here it's been, a consumer innovation is a product or service that's designed and built with the aim of improving the consumer experience. That can be before, during, or after care. So there's a big overlap with what we've been referring to for a decade plus as the patient experience, but that also tends to recognize that this innovation is happening further upstream, not just tweaking parts of the experience that are happening once you're in this care continuum itself, but it's actually designing and building in a different way where it's not just, hey, we decided to build something that was good for us and we checked it or ran it past some patients or consumers. No, we're designing and building it with the aim of improving some of those things that have been historically the sources that you mentioned, you know, at your recent experience where everyone's like, yeah, it's hard to see my primary care doctor in this traditional relationship. When we think about that definition of a consumer innovation, do you think retail care fits that definition first and foremost? And if so, how is it innovating on behalf of consumers?
I mean, if you just think of it at its core, retail care is accessible, affordable, and convenient, right? So just very simply at the sort of first level of innovation, it is doing that. The quality is as high as what you would find in a traditional setting. A lot of people believe, hey, if my care is at retail, it's either urgent care or it's like, can I get a strep test, right? But if you think about what VillageMD, Village Medical are, it is the highest quality, full primary care services, you know, now available with the accessibility, the affordability, and the convenience of primary care. But Jared, I think where you're going is also really critical. And that is what is the technology platform that enables easy, digital, seamless appointment setting, appointment changing, educational information about condition management, medications, et cetera. And, you know, Village Medical, I'm sure like most other retail disruptors in this space, have looked at that full patient experience journey set and built technology into that. And let me just say, you know, those 26 million people that I was talking about earlier, they are all using technology, right? Like almost every single one of them. They're booking online. They're checking in for their appointment beforehand so they don't have to, you know, fill out the paper pad at the office. They are using the portal to message their providers and their care team. They are on the My Walgreens app taking a look at how we're thinking about packaging over-the-counter products with condition, seasons, et cetera. All of that technology and all of those touch points are being made more seamless and easier for all of our consumers to take. It's interesting. When we talk about innovation, so I have been in another industry, which was the gaming industry. I was part of the gaming industry when it went from being essentially a non-regulated black market industry to being regulated at the state level. And then everything flowed in, right? The technology platforms flowed in, experts flowed in, retail presence of ability to buy gaming tickets flowed in, consumer education flowed in, the removal of the stigma of gaming, right, flowed in. Like everything flows in when you have the combination of a regulatory change, a legal change, a technology platform that makes something work, and then consumers who see a benefit in participating in that system. And I often see the parallels between that time in the public gaming space and the public gaming industry and what's happening in healthcare now. I really believe, if I do my job at all, I really believe that in 10 years, people will not come into healthcare without a primary care team. That's the first question that they'll ask. who's my primary care provider? Who's my primary care team? I'm certainly not going to have that test, that procedure, that surgery without having a really, you know, solid, trusted relationship with a primary care team, because they're the ones that have my back. That to me is like my personal mission and vision, and where I think marketing can play the biggest role, because all the infrastructural elements are now in place. And now what we need to do is make sure that consumers understand this is your best chance. Primary care is your best chance to a long and healthy life, period.
Can you speak, Ellen, because you're addressing the topic with such passion, two hurdles that Jared and I have heard that might perhaps get in the way of your vision. One is just the known phenomena that younger people in general tend not to have primary care physicians, and they don't see the need. They're much more apt to just engage with Dr. Google or a walk-in clinic or other more ad hoc episodic solutions. So there's a bit of a mindset that I don't need a primary care physician like my parents may have had. So speak to that, please, as a marketer. But also, can you also speak to just the national shortage of primary care physicians, which might more practically be an obstacle to equipping everyone who should have one with a doctor that, you know, can be the quarterback or be the captain of that care team?
The question of younger people's predilections to sort of fast and easy medical care, I think, is actually one of the wins that are going to push primary care forward. I believe that consumers don't distinguish all that much between urgent care and primary care. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why that has happened. But I believe right now, those service lines that in the industry we think of as distinct because of the credentialing of the providers, because of the reimbursement rates, whatever it is, right? The consumers see them interchangeably. And I believe that younger people who will walk into a CityMD urgent care, or who will be able to get a same day appointment at a Summit Health primary care provider or at a Village Medical primary care provider, in many ways are going to find similar services and a trustworthy, caring care team. We know, James, that in our CityMD urgent care line, 70% of the people who come and see us every single day have been there before. So we know that in many ways, they're using urgent care as a primary access point of healthcare. And when we talk to our primary care docs, our internal medicine docs, our family medicine docs, we tell them, we the marketers tell them that think of it as a front door. There might be a different reason for walking in that front door, maybe, but really fundamentally, those younger people who found us on a Google My Business search and, you know, went to the map and came right in, those people also want a high quality, trusted experience. And if they have a good one, they will return. And I believe over time, the services that we so structurally think of as different between urgent and primary are really going to start to blur together. To your question about the labor shortage, which certainly we talk about pretty much every week, to that question, I also, you know, probably like many of your guests, believe in the technology platform, in the care team model. We at Village Medical have many, you know, have care teams that are comprised of providers, APPs, and other team members, either located there physically or available virtually. So I believe that that is the sort of chapter of the labor change that we're all in.
Do those tools reduce administrative burden and just allow your team to spend more time practicing as opposed to documenting? Because that seems to be a common thread.
I think that provider satisfaction is just starting to emerge as a critical factor in patient experience. I can't say that those tools are helping our providers be, you know, more clinically focused. I can say that there are the best intentions of removing administrative burden from patients, from front desk personnel, from, you know, MAs, et cetera. But I think we're at the beginning of understanding how to streamline and automate and make the experience best for our providers and our patients.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. What if we add another dimension here and talk about from the marketing perspective? You perfectly described in my mind the value proposition for a consumer to consider retail care on their own behalf or on behalf of someone that they care for. What are those benefits and challenges from a marketing perspective when you're talking about a retailer in healthcare? So from the traditional care space, this is where I'm coming from on it, the traditional care space, hospital or health system that has been around and existed for 100 plus years, they haven't had non-traditional players come offering care for those 100 years. It's been a relatively, you know, new phenomenon for them. And I think James would agree. James and I are, you know, very much of the opinion that these are good offerings, that retail care fills gaps that exist elsewhere, among a lot of other things, among the dimensions of the way that it's experienced. So that does involve a lot of explaining or sharing new value propositions to a lot of new people and messaging things in different ways. So where does that go when you're talking about from a marketing perspective? What are some of those, I guess, key benefits and challenges that retailers face when they're talking about healthcare?
It is difficult, we all know, to get people to buy into a new vision, something when the last couple of decades have not proven that new vision to be true, right? So for the last 20 or 30 years, primary care has been relatively inaccessible. It has been providing relatively basic services. It has been behind the specialists in terms of the care journey. And let's not forget that during COVID, many primary care providers closed their doors. So even just in the recent past, people's real experiences with primary care is very different than what we're describing as a new way to well. Number one, we need to make sure that the reasons to believe in the short term are very clear and very solid, right? So accessible, affordable, convenient, personalized, coordinated care, medication management has to be really clear and very tangible. And then we need to be able to describe a state of experience with the healthcare system that to many people almost seems like, you know, something they've never experienced. They've never even seen it. So we need to bring that kind of new experience into the forefront. And we need to make sure that there is no part of the journey where that experience falls flat. We need to make sure that those Village Medical facilities that are inside of Walgreens are beautiful and they are clean and they look modern and that the care team is warm and welcoming and empathetic. Like we almost need to sort of over focus on changing their perception. Jared, when we look at our post-visit survey, we get so many comments like, wow, so different than what I expected. I walked in there for XYZ and can't believe what a Village Medical primary care office looks like. It's great. Like, so that perception of folks going in compared to then the experience that they have and the, you know, the NPS or other information that they give us afterwards is very different. It's very, very different. We have to be the best version of ourselves. We have to double down on that core value prop. And then we need to be surprisingly good at delivering care and doing all the things that patients need help with. Again, I hate to oversimplify, but if you think about it, Village MD, Village Medical, we're relatively new to this arena. I mean, I think the company's 8 years old at this point. So we need to elevate and then deliver on the basics so very well. The 88 NPS that we are so thrilled to have, that experience just sets forward a new type of behavior of care seeking and care relationship engagement.
There's an old expression, Ellen, which I'm sure you're familiar with, that some of these ideas are simple, but bringing them to life is not easy. And that's what I'm hearing. That NPS score, that's remarkable. You should be extremely proud.
Yes.
Extremely proud. It's
yes,
definitely best in class.
I often tell our CEO, you know, we look at the surveys and we agonize over every single negative survey. Oh, you know, this person had to wait too long, or this person struggled with a bill or whatever. And yet the overwhelming majority of our post-visit surveys, the ones that give us the 88 NPS, are so positive. It's like little care miracles happen every single day in primary care. You prevent something, you educate, you make sure somebody's on track, you know, modify a medication. Every single day, every minute of every hour of every day, those things happen in primary care.
With that all being said, look forward if you could. We're early in 2024. What's on the horizon for you, priority-wise, or maybe the larger organization? Are there some big rocks that you're looking to lift and move that you can share with us?
We certainly need to continue to provide access, and we are very focused on pacing our growth with patients and communities' ability to access us. We are bringing in a new clinical care model. It is not so much new as it is an elevation of the clinical care model that Village Medical has been using for a number of years now. That clinical care model will allow us to engage with our most complex patients even better. So again, as we really think about these older adults with multiple conditions that they're managing, we want to make sure that we are present with them physically, digitally, 24/7, at home, in a hospital, et cetera. So those are two big things that we are doing. From a marketing standpoint, we are expanding our aperture. As we understand that our consumers are thinking about urgent care and primary care in very similar ways, and that many of our patients who present in an urgent care setting want and need a primary care physician once they understand, care team, once they understand what the promise and what the benefits could be, and then how we engage those patients to move them into appropriate care through other service providers, specialists, et cetera, is something that we're thinking a lot about.
Thank you for that.
When we put all these elements together, when we discuss how this looks for Village, how it looks for the care teams involved, how it looks for the consumer who's being cared for, there is so much to go on. And I think that's a takeaway for me, is the effort that it takes at this grand scale, and then kind of coming back to this idea of so that you can deliver this individual experience that is, as you said, surprisingly good. I love that. So is there one final thought or one message that you'd want to share with consumers everywhere? This is Ellen, you know, on your own behalf, just based on the work that you get to do every day. Is there one message that you'd want to share with consumers when they are trying to understand how to be cared for?
Yeah, it's definitely a message of empowerment. People need to take charge of their life and their health destiny, and they need to have a plan for how to stay well and live long and live healthy. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen if you don't pay attention to it. And it happens better if you have a primary care team that's on your side and that is with you for the long haul. And I want consumers to know that it is their right and their privilege to be able to demand a primary care team around them to take care of them for the long haul.
Well said. That's such an exciting vision.
It really is. And that's the perfect place for us to wrap our conversation, Ellen. I feel like we were just getting started and we had so much more to, you know, that we could just listen to and bask in the opportunities that you've been able to highlight for us. But with that, we will wrap for this episode and just thank you so much for giving us so much to think about today. It's been an absolute pleasure to welcome Ellen Donahue Dalton from VillageMD. We want to thank you for joining us today.
Karen, thanks for having me. James, nice seeing you. Thanks for being here.
Echo that gratitude, Ellen. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please spread the word. Tell your colleagues to tune in for all the awesomeness, then leave a review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. This show is produced by Shift Forward Health, the channel for changemakers. Subscribe to Shift Forward Health on your favorite podcast app, and you'll be subscribed to our entire library of shows. See our full lineup at shiftforwardhealth.com. One subscription, all the podcasts you need, and it's all for free. And remember, we might have a lot of work to do in healthcare, but we'll get there faster together. Thanks again.